The rapture, meaning caught up, the rapture of the church will be the most startling event to happen in all of human history. Millions of people will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. I'm talking to you this morning about a real event that will happen. This, my brothers and sisters, is going to happen. Millions of people on this planet will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Great confusion and bewilderment will occupy the minds of those who are left behind. There will be many explanations offered for this event. But in the meantime, the church is gone. The church will be out of here, caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and to appear before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. This will not be a judgment for condemnation. This will be a judgment for reward. Many will receive great rewards, and some will stand before the judgment seat of Christ ashamed. So this morning, today, I'm going to talk about what will happen at the rapture. Secondly, I'm going to talk about what should you do if you miss the rapture. And thirdly, what must I do now to prepare for the rapture? First of all, at the rapture, the Lord will come down. Just as he went up, he will come down. And the Bible says he will come down with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet sound of God. That command will, I believe, be a command like he made to John the Apostle to come up here. It will be a command for the church to come up into heaven. And both the dead and the living will ascend into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. The Bible says, encourage each other. So I'm not speaking this message this morning to the church for you to be fearful. I'm speaking this word this morning because the Bible says that I should encourage you. Encourage each other with these words. So the Lord will come down. The believer's body will be wonderfully changed, and its qualities will be wonderfully transformed. You will no longer have a flesh and blood body. You will have a new, glorious, spiritual, transformed body. We will be like the angels in heaven that neither marry nor are given in marriage. If you want to find out more about this, the new body is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The rapture will look like this according to the Bible. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at a mill. One will be taken and the other will be left. To bring it down into today's language, a man and his wife will be watching television. One will be taken and the other will be left. Two people will be serving in a store. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be driving along a motorway. One will be taken and the other will be left. When will all this happen? Will it happen before, during, or after the tribulation. Assemblies of God churches tend to believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation, and therefore those who are left behind will be thrown straight into the tribulation, a time of great suffering and persecution for those who are left behind. Some people believe that the church will go through part of the tribulation and then will be raptured out of the tribulation. I'm not going to go into all the arguments this morning, just simply to say that I believe that the church will be raptured before the tribulation. We will be taken out of here before the suffering and persecution comes upon the earth. After the rapture, there will be such a time of great difficulty that the world has never seen. This is called the tribulation. During the tribulation that is coming, which I believe will last for 7 years, there will be illness, there will be changes in weather patterns, there will be destruction like the world has never known. A time when judgment is going to be poured out upon mankind like no one ever dreamed of. A time of suffering and pain and disease, and even nuclear war, when the nuclear weapons of this world that have proliferated will be targeted upon the cities of the world. And therefore, if any are around at that time, it's a good idea to make for the countryside. So it's going to be a time of great pain and suffering. It's a time when restraint on evil will be taken away. The Holy Spirit will no longer restrain the growth of evil. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 7 to 8, "Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things?" The Apostle Paul prepared the church for the rapture and for the tribulation that was coming. He said, "And now you know what is holding him back." That is the Antichrist, the evil that is coming upon the world. He says, "And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back, that is the Holy Spirit, will continue to do so until he," the Holy Spirit, "is taken out of the way." In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to stop restraining the power of evil, so that lawlessness is going to be released upon this earth as never before. And it says in verse 8, "And when the lawless one who will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming." Right now, prior to the tribulation, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is the restraint of the Antichrist. In verses 8 and 9, we learn that the restraining power of the Holy Spirit holds back the lawless one, so he is not revealed before God wills it. The Holy Spirit, after the rapture, will not restrain evil anymore, but I believe that he will still be there for individuals. He will still be touching the lives of individuals. He'll still be drawing people to Jesus. He'll be touching them by their power, that they may know Jesus and the power of his kingdom. So the Holy Spirit will not restrain evil, but he will be ministering into the lives of individuals. He will be blessing individuals. He will be calling individuals to know Jesus. So I'm going to ask a question now. What should I do if I miss the rapture? Someone will say, "Well, why are you preaching such a message?" I'm preaching it because there will be people who will miss the rapture. Who are they? Who is going to miss the rapture? There will be those who heard the gospel but never truly repented of their sins or responded to the gospel in faith. There will be people who will suffer great despair and hopelessness because they will know what they should have done and they didn't respond. You may ask, what about lapsed Christians? Or we use the term backslidden Christians. Will they be raptured? Well, there's a doctrine called once saved, always saved. And if you accept this doctrine, you will believe that all Christians will be raptured, irrespective of whether they are serving God or whether they are backslidden. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you be absolutely certain that you are saved and that you will be raptured? And I say, absolutely, yes, you can. You can have absolute certainty that you are saved, that you are forgiven, and that you will be raptured. Can you be certain for other people? Well, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not so sure that you can construct a doctrine that came into this world 450 years ago with a man called John Calvin, a doctrine called once saved, always saved, and that doctrine was never heard of before John Calvin. For 1,500 years of the Christian church knew nothing of a doctrine called once saved, always saved. So what am I going to put my faith in this morning? I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. I'm going to make as certain as I possibly can that I'm right with God, and I'm not going to leave it to the whim of some doctrine that says I can backslide, I'm a Christian, I can backslide, and I'm still going to be raptured. So I'm just want to caution you this morning against what I believe is a false doctrine that lulls people in the face of the rapture into a false sense of security that I can do what I like with my life and that I'm still going to be okay. I encourage you, I urge you, I want to inspire you this morning to serve Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, to get all compromise out of your life and to serve the Lord. You know, most churches never preach a message like this. Most churches never tell people what to do after the rapture if they miss it. Many think there is no hope. But I want to tell you this morning that there is hope, but it will be very difficult. And here's what you need to do. If you miss the rapture, number one, I'm going to give you 5 points. Number one, get rid of all compromise in your life. Because it's this compromise, it's this doubt, it's this unbelief that got you into this position in the first place. The time will be very, very short. You'll have 7 years. You won't have very much time to get right with God after the rapture, but don't put it off. Turn to the Lord immediately, repent of your sin, and receive the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. You can still be a Christian during the tribulation, but it will be very difficult. Decide to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. No matter what comes your way, no matter what difficulty, no matter what torture or even death comes your way, decide that you will follow Jesus. No turning back. Turn to the Lord and receive His forgiveness. Since the restraint on evil has been removed, demons will be released upon the earth as never before, and sin will abound. So it will be very difficult for all Christians. The Bible says He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. So don't give yourself to compromise in any way, shape, or form. Sexual perversion will abound, but if you are in that situation, don't give yourself to any sexual perversion. Because in that day, many, many people will be deceived. Don't give yourself to the occult. because these demonic forces will be very powerful. Even now, even today, repent and turn away. So there will be hope. There will be Christians in the tribulation. The Lord will be working powerfully. So that's the first thing. Get rid of all compromise. Turn to God and get your life right with God. Secondly, bow down to the one true God. This is the rub. There's going to be huge pressure on people to bow down to the Antichrist. You will be asked to worship the beast of Revelation, the Antichrist. He will be a prominent world leader. He will be wildly charismatic and popular, and people will flock after him. He'll be handsome, he'll be young, he'll be attractive. He will exercise great power with signs and wonders, and many, many people will follow him, and they will be deceived by his witchcraft. He will exercise great power with signs and wonders. World peace will be his theme. He will say, I have the answer to all the world's problems, all the economic problems of the world. I have the answer. I have the answer to world peace, and he will promise world peace. He will be very attractive. His message will be very attractive to people's ears. And you know, in the past, one of the leaders of the United Nations said, send us a leader who will bring us peace, and we will serve him, be he God or devil. That will be the attitude of many people. We don't care who he is. We don't care about truth. We don't care about righteousness. All we want is somebody who will bring us peace. And the world today, believe it or not, is ready for such a man. The world is getting ready for this man to be revealed. Do not be deceived. He is the Antichrist. All who do not bow down to the beast will suffer and starve and be put to death. Not lining up with the beast will cost you massively. It will cost you your family. It will cost you your livelihood. It will cost you your health. And it will even cost you your life. Torture and death will follow all who stand for Jesus. And that's why Jesus says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There's going to be an amazing reward for those who stand for Jesus in the midst of the great tribulation. There's been tribulation before in the early days of the Christian church. There are tribulations going off throughout the world today. And there are Christians who are preferring to stand for Jesus than to give their life for a lie. And so be faithful unto death, Jesus says, and I will give you the crown of life. Yes, you can make it after the rapture, but be faithful to the one true God of the Bible. Don't receive the number on your forehead or on your hand. Revelation 13, 16 to 17 says that the beast also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, and which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. So you will be expected to have a mark on your forehead or on your hand, and that will be the sign that you have bowed down and you have worshipped the beast. Then the scanners will know who you are. You'll be able to buy food. You'll be able to feed your family, etc. But if you don't have the mark on your forehead or you don't have it on your hand, you will not be able to trade. You will not be able to buy food. You will starve and you will be tortured. So bow down. Bow down in the midst of all of this to the one true living God. Thirdly, you must prepare for a famine of God's word. There will be a famine of the word of God. Bibles will be confiscated. Christian bookshops and publishing houses will be closed down. Christian websites will be taken down. And so it's very important to have hard copies of the Bible, because you won't be able to access Bible Gateway or Bible Hub anymore. Don't rely on having the Bible on your phone. Get yourself a hard copy of the Bible and keep it in a safe place for yourself. Collect other copies, as many as you possibly can, and give to trusted friends. But be careful who you give it to, because you won't be able to trust everybody. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Be careful, because you'll be tortured for keeping a Bible in your home. We read in Amos chapter 8, 11 about the absence of God's word. He says, "The days are coming, declares the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine throughout the land, not a famine of food or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." What's he talking about? He's talking about the great tribulation. He's talking about, and he's seeing something like any of us has never seen before. He saw what I'm telling you about today, the rapture, and a time when God's word will be confiscated, when it'll be ripped asunder, when it'll be destroyed by evil men. That's why if you miss the rapture, you've got to collect Bibles, you've got to keep a Bible for yourself, and you've got to fortify yourself with the word of God. So if you miss the rapture, first of all, get right with God. Secondly, worship the one true God. Thirdly, get yourself a hard copy of the Bible. Get to know the Bible. Get to memorize the Bible. In actual fact, do it now. Get the word of God inside you now, so that you are strong for when the rapture comes. Thirdly, you will need to pray, because you can still pray to Jesus after Jesus has come. You can still communicate with the Father, but your prayers need to be about prayers of endurance. You need to ask God and the Holy Spirit for strength and for power and for grace to be able to withstand what's going to come upon you, because you are a Christian. I'm talking today about an endurance test. In the tribulation, Christianity is going to be nothing less than an endurance test. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 24, 13, "But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Will it be easy to endure? Absolutely not. Churches will be closed and turned into warehouses. So you must learn to talk to God on your own for endurance. If you're going through a tribulation now, now is the time to talk to God for endurance. You may, in the time of the tribulation, have to do it all alone. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to endure. You're going to have to survive all on your own. And all the scriptures about strength and about endurance will be available to you if you pray and you believe what God said. Number five, be prepared to suffer and even to die. That is exactly what Christians in the tribulation are going to have to do. And it's the only way that they're going to win their reward, the crown of life. The only way that you'll make it to heaven is to suffer and prepare to die. However, let me say this morning, each one and every one of us, we will only die once. We'll only have to go through this once. So be faithful even unto death. Now, I wish this morning I could tell you a different message. I wish this morning that God had laid something different upon my heart. I wish I could tell you that there's an easier way. But I've got to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that there will be a rapture and there will be a tribulation afterwards. And that is exactly what I am preaching today. Let me say to you, or to anybody listening to this, in the tribulation, do not commit suicide, because there is still hope. It will be much better to die for Jesus, to die for your faith, than to die from hopelessness. Die for Jesus. There is hope. So you can repent, you can worship God, you can pray, and you can fortify yourself and prepare to endure. There is hope. So what must I do now? What can I do this morning to prepare myself for the rapture? The Bible speaks of 10 virgins. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. 5 were ready, 5 were not. At the moment when the call came to go into the feast, 5 had to leave everything and go looking for oil for their lamps because they weren't ready. And so the challenge to us this morning is, have we got oil in our lamps? Have you got oil in your lamp this morning? Are you ready for Jesus when he comes back? Are you burning strong for Jesus Christ this morning? Or is there compromise in your life? Today I encourage you, first of all, to stand for Jesus. If you can't stand for God today, you haven't got a chance to speak of in the tribulation. Come today to the water. Forsake every kind of compromise in your life. Any concession that you have given to the devil, take it back now in the name of Jesus. And come to Jesus. Any doubt that is lingering there, put it aside and come to Jesus. Get your life right with God today. Come in repentance and come in faith.